Text for our consideration this morning is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Last weekend, my family and I were visiting a bookstore in Minneapolis. As we were perusing the shelves, one title in particular stood out to me, and I picked it up. The book was titled, How to Do Nothing. As I was standing there with that book, of course, one of my daughters saw me looking at it and said, I didn't really need that book because I already had that skill mastered. Actually, though, I had recognized the title as one of the books of what could be called the anti-productivity movement, which includes such books as Cal Newport's Slow Productivity or Oliver Berkman's 4,000 Weeks. These books, along with How to Do Nothing, emphasize slowing down and focusing on what is really important rather than rushing to and fro, trying to attain some sort of false sense of productivity, which characterizes the modern hustle culture. They try to focus people on the limited amount of time that they really have, and then, of course, to be conscious of how they spend that time. Indeed, in that sense, these more recent books have something in common with a much older book that the 11th graders are familiar with, Henry David Thoreau's Walden. It seems that Advent, it is especially useful period to think about time and how we use it. With the end of the school year and the build-up to Christmas, this always seems like a very busy time of year with people rushing about trying to get presents, decorating the house, cooking meals and treats, and making plans and preparations for travels. But it's also a time in the church year, as Prof. Weiss's sermon this weekend and chapels this week have reminded us, when we remember how all God's children had to wait thousands of years for their Savior to be born, and of our own wait for his second coming. Let us take a few moments then this morning and consider how God's time is not our time, but also how our time is God's time. Ever since the first gospel promise in Genesis 3:15, humankind has been awaiting the Savior. Indeed, Eve, seeing her first son, may have already thought that he might be the promised Savior. The world, though, would have to wait 4,000 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. It was not until God saw that the fullness of time had come that he sent forth his Son to redeem all people. All those years of waiting definitely could have led to doubt and despair to God's people, if not for God's faithfulness and the demonstration of his love. We too may become impatient as we wait on God. Those who are physically, mentally, or emotionally hurt may ask, like the psalmist, "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" We also may become impatient waiting for God's punishment of the wicked or his seeming indifference to the violence and suffering throughout the world. Or we may become frustrated with our own sinful flesh as we continue to succumb to temptations and fail to forgive the sins of others. Our comfort, though, like the Old Testament people, is that God always keeps his promises in his time. We heard last night in Pastor Nauman's sermon how God perfectly fulfilled his promises and his word. God has promised to love and care for us, his children, his heirs, as Paul puts it in this section of Galatians. Advent is the anticipation of Christ's coming, but we also know that just as God sent his Son to live and die for us, so that we know in his time he'll provide us everything we need on earth, and more importantly, a home in heaven. God sending his Son in his time to redeem us also means that our time is really his time. At the end of Shakespeare's Macbeth, Macduff enters, holding the tyrant Macbeth's head, and declares, "The time is free." In a much greater way, God has freed our time. Christ's death and resurrection has bought us back from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now we're free to serve him. As Paul writes here in Galatians, we are now heirs of God and no longer under the elements of the world. As we ponder how we spend our time, then, we don't have to focus on false definitions of productivity. We don't need to feel like our self-worth is built on how much we accomplish during our day, our career, or our life. This is especially true and important to remember in regard to our spiritual life. Indeed, this is one of Paul's main messages to the Galatians, that our salvation comes freely through Christ alone and has nothing to do with our works. Instead, our worth comes from being heirs of God, which comes from nothing that we did. What a relief we don't have to spend our days worrying if we have done enough to earn heaven. Instead, we can focus our time and efforts on the one thing needful, spending time at the feet of our Lord in his word and sharing and spreading this wonderful gospel news. As we think about our time and priorities this Advent and Christmas season, we certainly don't want to focus on how to do nothing. We can, though, throw aside the false priorities that seem to drive our days to endless busyness that leads to no satisfaction, and instead, like Mary, ponder the birth of our Savior in our hearts and pray that the Holy Spirit leads us to spend our time strengthening our faith and sharing it with others. We'll close today with hymn 99, all three verses, hymn 99, verses 1, 2, and 3.